You'll remember that John the Baptist came to prepare the way of the Lord. And so he was there to transition God's people from a time before the Messiah to the time of the Messiah. He was there to introduce Jesus in particular in his public ministry as the promised Messiah. John's baptism, as we saw last week, and we're reminded today, was the official beginning of Jesus' ministry, wherein he would travel from place to place, healing and teaching. And for the average citizen of Israel, the coming of the Messiah wasn't just about teaching or healing, but it was about political liberation. He would rule the nations, as Isaiah prophesied. Said the government will be upon his shoulder, and his name will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. This Messiah is King of Kings and Lord of Lords. His reign would extend to the whole world. He would begin a time of global peace, and he would be the great shepherd of the nations. So it's interesting that John, out of all the titles that he could use to describe Messiah, would introduce him as the Lamb. Look, behold, the Lamb of God, he says, who takes away the sin of the world. And we are so accustomed to hearing that, that sometimes we may miss how profound and beautiful it is. Not shepherd, but Lamb. To call Jesus the Lamb of God would certainly flood the minds of God's people at this time with many scriptures from the Hebrew Bible, what we call the Old Testament. They would think about the lambs that were sacrificed daily at the temple. They would think about that one special lamb on the Day of Atonement when the priest would go into the Holy of Holies and offer a sacrifice for the nation. When John calls Jesus the Lamb of God, they would remember the great stories of the Bible. They would remember how God told Abraham to take his son Isaac to Mount Moriah and offer him as a sacrifice. And you'll remember that when Abraham reached out his hand to sacrifice his son, the angel of the Lord told him, "Stop, don't do it." And when Abraham looked up, he saw a ram caught in a thicket, and God indeed provided a lamb in place of his own son. When Jesus is called by John the Lamb of God, they would think of another story of God's people. You'll remember when they were slaves in Egypt, how God sent Moses and the plagues, each plague worse than the one before. But you'll remember that final plague, the most important one, when the angel of death passed by the houses who were instructed to put the blood of the lamb on their doorposts. The lamb protected households. When the angel of death came to a house, the firstborn son would die. But when the angel of the Lord, angel of death, came by a house with the blood of the lamb painted on the doorposts, the angel of death would pass by, leaving those inside unharmed. The blood of the lamb is a shield against death. The lamb defeats death itself. John the Baptist, when he says, "Behold the Lamb of God," is preaching a whole sermon just in that one short phrase. The Lamb of God is speaking about Jesus prophetically as well as historically. He is the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. Jesus does not just spare one special son, as in the case of Isaac. He doesn't just spare the lives of a nation, in the case of the nation of Israel. the Jewish sons in Egypt. Jesus does not just take away the power of sin from one individual or a nation. He takes away the sin of the world, John says. This is a step up in God's redemptive plan. He's the Lamb for every tribe, nation, tongue, and people. He's the sacrifice to end all sacrifices. For centuries, Christians have sung that song, Agnus Dei Quitolus Peccata Mundi, which you'll hear on the radio, which you will hear in church, the choir sing, which means Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. We sing it as we distribute the bread and the wine and the body and blood of Jesus. Lamb of God, you take away the sin of the world, we will sing later on. We believe that Jesus gives his body and blood for the forgiveness of sins, to once again take away our sins. In this little phrase, we have a condensed gospel. The Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. Jesus is not only the good shepherd who leads us, but he is also the one who lays down his life for us as a spotless, innocent lamb. Jesus is the Lamb who takes away our sin. He does not just come for the righteous, but especially for us sinners. He's the friend of sinners, Scripture says. He comes to set his people free from death, guilt, and condemnation. His resurrection frees us from sin's hold forever. Jesus is the Lamb who alone bears not only the government on his shoulders, as prophecy says, but he also bears on his shoulders the brokenness of this fallen world, all of the world's sin. He came to take the load of sin off our backs. We're saved not by our efforts or the weight that we take up or our efforts to amend ourselves. We are saved because he took it upon himself. He carries the weight. He amends us through the gift of his life. Jesus is the Lamb who takes away the sin of the world. Soon, he will come and finally take away the last vestige and remnant of sin. He will come to bring this world true and abiding peace and justice, what we long for each and every day, taking away all that evil has done and making all things new. Jesus is indeed the Lamb who has taken away, takes away, and will take away the sin of the world once for all, wiping away all our tears, swallowing up death forever, and once sin and its consequences are finally taken away, we will live with that Lamb in perfect peace, wholeness, and joy forever. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, Amen.